Hi, Dr. Newhouse. Welcome to our Big Unlock podcast. This is a sixth season and 180 plus episodes now. Really happy to have you on board and looking forward to a very, you know, exciting conversation. And welcome to all our listeners as well. Start with a brief introduction. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi, and I'm the co-host of the Big Unlock podcast and also the managing partner here at Big Rio and Demo Consulting. With that, I'll hand it over to you for your introduction. Thank you.
Yeah, great. It's very nice to be here. Thank you for having me. And hello to everybody out there who's listening. So my name is Felicia Newhouse. I'm here in the Boston area. That's where I'm anchored. And I am founder and chief curator of AI Powered Women. So we're one of the world's largest conferences and global ecosystems, really bridging women leaders and AI, and really looking at how we advance women and how we advance the entire concept of intelligence. We really look at conferences globally and expanding those and doing those in different cities. We also have an online academy and a human-centered AI leadership certification. And we are partnering with a lot of different research institutes right now too, just really unpacking all the various research around regenerative leadership and systems thinking and systems awareness and consciousness and neuroscience, and how all of these areas kind of converge around not just AI, but leadership in the context of AI and the types of leadership this moment demands. So we're really diving deep into that and exploring that with a lot of different thought leaders and scholars and researchers around the world.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. And, you know, as you know, you were so kind and you extended me an invitation to come attend that conference, which was like absolutely wonderful experience. And, you know, got to listen to some really inspiring speakers. And this whole concept of bringing the human angle into it, I thought was very interesting, because I've attended other healthcare conferences like HIMSS and, you know, HumanX, and they do talk about, you know, bringing in these softer aspects, but not to the extent which the women's conference did, which I thought was very interesting. And that empathy angle which came in was really good. So let's start with that. You know, we really want to ask you, what inspired you to pursue this leadership path in, you know, AI and healthcare? And was there a defining moment where you thought, you know, this is really what I want to do, and this is what brings all my interests together? Like basically an origin story, because our listeners really love hearing those. Like, how did you, land where you are right now?
Yeah, of course. So I spent 20 years as a product executive at tech startups. I was part of three different mergers, two different acquisitions. I went through kind of the small, scrappy startup phase and then stayed on board for several to turn into these, like, you know, multi-billion dollar enterprises. So I was on both sides of like what it felt like to go through those types of, like, I guess, growth stories. It was really exciting. It was a really exciting career. Early on, I actually worked with Steve Jobs' team, and we worked on a technology at Skyhook Wireless, which was a startup. We kind of started at the beginning of like the mobile days, when mobile technologies were coming out and what the future is going to look like. And so I remember in those early days, just kind of stepping back and looking at how quick the pace of change was happening with technology. And I remember that was back in 2008. That was kind of maybe, I don't know, it was like in my late 20s or something, in my mid 40s now. So I've just been kind of, my career started when things were really slow still, when technology is really slow. And I've just seen that speed up and speed up and speed up. And especially being a product leader, I've been at the place at all these various growth stories at different tech companies where I saw this, I guess, this idea where the more technology we bring on, the easier things are going to be, the more it's going to offload us, the faster we can go. So I think there's kind of this illusion that the more tech we bring on, the easier it will be for us humans. And I actually think the opposite has happened in some ways in the way that we've deployed it. I'm a big fan of tech and AI. I'm a technologist, but I feel like the way that we've been deploying it, we could do better. And I think that there's this idea of we need to keep going faster and faster and speed up, and the competitors, and there's kind of all this FOMO in the market around, like, well, our competitors are doing it too. So there's not a lot of slowing down and reflecting, again, back to that kind of like the concepts that we look at with regenerative leadership and systems thinking and systems feeling is kind of this new concept too, of like, how do I feel my way through kind of the changes in an ecosystem? There's just so much happening right now that I guess like my origin story was when I started to see that all speeding up. And I had my second baby right when ChatGPT was taking off. So it was like early 2023. And I actually almost died during childbirth. And I was one of the only woman leaders at my company. And everything was taking off with AI. And I was just, I had had a near-death experience. And so it just really reset, like, okay, so everyone is speeding up, everyone's going faster, things are going at this crazy rate of change. What really matters right now? And I think that moment, like, things just kind of stopped and slowed down for me personally, of just asking, what am I doing here? What are we all doing here? Like, what if all of this? I kind of had these deep existential questions come up after having seen this pace of change happen so quickly throughout my career. So that was a moment where I slowed down, was able to, it almost felt like the fog got wiped off the windshield a little bit and I could see a bit more clearly.
Yeah, I was just going to say that whatever I've read about NDEs, they say it's extreme clarity and, you know, it's almost like you're looking at everything with a renewed focus or a renewed clarity of purpose, I guess.
Yeah, everything was just simple. I think that's the best way to put it. It's just so simple. It's like, it's, we tend to overcomplicate things as humans, but they're actually quite simple. We all want to feel the need to belong. There's a deep sense of belonging. We care deeply about our human relationships. That extends out to customers and the products and businesses we build, no matter what industry you're in. I think at the end of the day, many humans care. They care deeply. And so just kind of looking at all that, it just refocused me on what are we doing? And so I went back to my work. It was not a fit after that experience. And that was in the middle of AI happening. And I started a women's AI group at that company that was focused on like Fortune 500 women leaders. And like, let's all talk about AI. I noticed women were being left out of a lot of these conversations. And that was taking off, but it wasn't really being supported by the top leaders at the companies. So women were kind of having to fight for it. So at that point, yeah, I ended up evolving out. And I had done part of my PhD studies at MIT. I did some research across MIT and Harvard and Lesley University, really looking at sustainability of women's leadership, like what type of internal and external resources they need as leaders. And so that went back to kind of some of the regenerative leadership concepts I talk about. And I created this theory that was this framework that was called the immunity framework. So how we can build immunity around women leaders as well to really excel through chaos and change. And the idea of systems awareness is really the capacity to perceive reality as a web of interdependent systems. So that's biological and social and technological and ecological, rather than just isolated parts. So it means being able to zoom out and see how your decisions as a leader really ripple through a larger network, like how a shift in one node, say one like little algorithm or one little policy cascades across all people and cultures in a global environment and various outcomes. So it's really the opposite of siloed or linear thinking, which is kind of the old model of leadership that I think humanity is starting to grow out of. So systems aware leaders really recognize feedback loops and unintended consequences and leverage points for change. And then this idea of systems feeling is kind of this new concept. And we're collaborating with this institute called the Awe Exchange. I definitely recommend checking them out. We just did an interview on our podcast last week with them, actually. And so the Awe Exchange looks at the concept of awe in leadership. And that when you really think about innovation and creativity and all these wonderful things we love to talk about in all industries and leadership conversations, you really need to get down to the kernels of what actual innovation really is. And I think one of those kernels is awe. It's being inspired by the world around you and being mindful and actually stopping and slowing down. You can't force awe. You need to curate a calm, psychologically safe environment to experience awe and curiosity and just being. It's like how you felt as a child. Like there was no concept of time. You're outside of time. So it's very much the opposite of ego. There's just complete and total deepness of being. And so from that place, I think, is where true sustainable innovation is born. And this newer and more, I guess, feminine informed concept emerging about systems feeling is coming from fields like eco-psychology and trauma-informed leadership and regenerative design. And it's really systems feeling is the embodied empathic intelligence that allows us to sense systems emotionally and physically in our body, somatically and intuitively, rather than just analyze them with our head. And so I think from a standpoint of what we're doing at AI Powered Woman, it really recenters relational and emotional intelligence as data. So machines can process complexity, but only humans can really feel complexity. And I think that's a very important distinction when we think about how systems feeling reconnects intelligence with empathy and really zooming out and how we shape and mold and define intelligence in the next century ahead as leaders across all industries.
Wow, you've given us so much to think about. And I think what you talked about, you know, the awe, inducing awe, I think it's also related to that sense of wonder when, you know,
like, yes, wonder.
That and yeah.
Yeah, just, that's a great word.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you. That was a great answer. And my next question was going to be, what was the professional pivot? And, you know, what's been your most valuable professional pivot and what it taught you? But I think you kind of answered that on how you veered into AI after you had experience and how you got into this field.
Yeah, we started the conference at MIT at the end of that year. And at first, we were going very much just, let's talk about AI. Let's talk about, you know, the future of work for women. There's a lot changing. Women are being left out of these conversations. Let's just get women in a room and upskill them. So let's focus on the upskilling and training. We bring technologists in and they teach them hands-on keyboard. They dig deep in building an agent, building an automated workflow. You know, we teach them the skills. And we did that. And it went wonderfully for that first conference. However, what was very interesting was there was one panel that I took a risk on, and I was actually very insecure about the panel because I was like, oh, this is getting too out there. It's going to be too woo-woo. And I, you know, I come from tech and the business background, so like I'm very aware of what sounds too woo-woo. And so I was a bit self-conscious about this panel, but we started to ask some questions that started to hit on, I guess, the existential feelings that a lot of us women and leaders are having. And we had a woman who was a Harvard astrophysicist who's looking at kind of life on other planets and kind of these existential questions of who we are and our role on this planet and the universe. We had a woman who's from the MIT Media Lab who is looking at our relationship with each other and how our relationships are changing as a result to our newfound relationships with AI and robots, and that we're losing this kind of connection with ourselves and each other, and that's it's getting mixed up in how we relate to ourselves. And then the third person was from the Harvard Center for Mindfulness and Compassion, and she talked a lot about compassion and mindfulness and what that means in the age of AI. And she's using AI to track signals for compassion in group therapy and how compassion is shifting and evolving and growing over the course of a, you know, treatment of therapy. So anyways, we did this panel and it just, the audience was just blown away by it, and all these deep questions that got spiritual very fast and reflective very fast. And it was very clear that people are hungry for and starved in their regular day-to-day lives for these deeper conversations that have meaning, but that still connect into the technologies and the business and the leadership conversations and these workforce-driven conversations that we're all having. It's just nobody feels psychologically safe enough to actually bridge the two together. Yes. So we realized that, like, that unique role that we can play in these conferences, in the academy that we're growing, so that we can create an environment and an ecosystem for women to have these conversations. So that was the birth of the conference at MIT that went bigger, you know, last month. And then, you know, we're going global. So we have partnerships all over the world that we're doing. And so it's growing very quickly. But I think at the end of the day, it's really just a reflection of where we're at right now. And that a lot of the workplaces we're in and even the conferences that we're going to, they talk about ethical AI, they talk about responsible AI, they talk about ethical leadership. But it's still at a very, very surface level. We're just diving deep.
Great, great. So that leads directly into my next question. What do you think is the most misunderstood aspect of AI in healthcare today? And the follow-up question to that is, how do you think healthcare organizations can balance automation with the need for, you know, human empathy and clinical judgment?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, what we see, I mean, we've seen it in healthcare, but we've seen it across industries, is there's these elements of the human touch that are never going to go away that we all crave. And so I think it's really important to go back to, this starts with the designers and the builders. And it does start upstream. Like when we talk about AI, I mean, we have to talk about the people who are designing AI. And I think there's a lot of work to do there around the folks who are designing and building these systems. The AI that we're creating is just simply a reflection and a mirror of the consciousness of the creators and the leaders behind them. It's very simple, right? Yep. And so if they're creating from a place of extraction and just pure automation, again, back to that kind of systems thinking, the regenerative leadership of like, are you able as a leader, as a builder, as a creative behind these technologies, actually think about the broader implications downstream of what you're building? Are you capable of tuning in to all the various cultures, all the various humans, the wide spectrum of lived experiences of people who are going to be experiencing these? And so when I hear a question like that around where is all this going? What aspects of these systems are going to be needed? What aspects aren't? Is it going to replace us? Well, I mean, I think first we have to think about what we're building today and how that's a reflection of the consciousness of those leaders. So I think that's number one. And that also, I guess, dovetails into the human-centered AI design that we talk a lot about. We talked about that a lot at our conference as well. We had an AI lab at our conference where we very intentionally chose female founders who were building AI apps, AI systems, you know, AI agents, all these various technologies in a human-centered way. And so when you think about human-centered design, it really goes back to the capacity to think about the customers and all the various humans that are affected by your innovation. And so that does go back to social impact and being able to think about that in a holistic way. So I think that at the end of the day, we're all going to require, especially in healthcare, that human touch. A lot of people talk about robots. In the next decade, they are saying that, you know, most of us are going to have a robot in the home. It's going to happen very quickly. There's the compounding rate of change that we're experiencing right now that every year is building upon the previous year. And so the rate of change is going to be exponential in 10 years from now. So it's very likely that robots will absolutely have the capacity to have fully permeated the healthcare setting. But at the end of the day, it's do we want them to? And what do we really need as humans? What are our basic needs? And I think in, you know, when we look at the healthcare system, what I find interesting is that women make up the majority of the workforce, right? So there's kind of this gender component too, and who's part of these conversations, both from a building standpoint, but also just from a leadership standpoint in healthcare. I mean, globally, women constitute, I believe it was around like 60, 70% of the health and social care workforce.
That was pretty high, right? 60 to 70.
Yeah. Last time I checked, that's what it was around. And however, there's a very small number of those women that are actually in those leadership positions. And in addition to that, the female physicians that are, you know, in those leadership positions are much more likely to report burnout. It was like 47% versus like 38% of male physicians. Right. So I think there's a leadership gap. Like women are the majority of the workforce here, there, that yet they're way underrepresented in leadership in healthcare. And there's burnout and change pressure with the high rates of burnout, especially among female clinicians. There's a really strong need for leadership that combines operational fluency in AI and automation with the human-centered wisdom, the well-being and the purpose and connection. And that's a lot of the research we're doing. In Q1 next year, we're going to be putting out a report called The State of Woman and Human Intelligence 2026. And so we're going to be bridging a lot of these kind of newer concepts around from systems thinking to systems feeling and what is the research around that. And then these feminine leadership principles that when we say feminine leadership principles, it doesn't mean you have to be a woman. It just means that they're grounded in kind of more of a feminine way of showing up as a leader, which is intuition and empathy and things like that. So the research has shown over and over and over again, women score much higher on all of those areas of emotional intelligence than male leaders. It is like 17 out of 19 of the criteria on the McKinsey survey. So at the end of the day, women do lead differently overall compared to men. And they do have a greater capacity based on that research to lead from an emotional intelligence standpoint. So when women are missing in these leadership positions, when the rate of change is so high, when every month counts, and you look at an industry like healthcare where they're so direly missing from the top, we have to start asking some deep questions around like, how are we influencing these realms. And the burnout among clinicians, you know, remains near, I think it was like 40-45%. So the tools matter, but so does the leadership capacity, the team culture, and the systemic redesign, right? Like that's where the human-centered AI leadership really enters the room. So I think the healthcare organizations that face kind of this twin challenge, they face this challenge around talent shortage and they're rapidly evolving change and technology. And so I think the woman who lead this next era will need both digital fluency and the wisdom to anchor change in what matters most with human dignity and connection and equity in that whole healthcare space. And so I think we need to really pay attention to that, because having a balance in those leadership conversations at this point in history is more important than ever. And having that, those diverse voices, and it's not just gender, it's lived experiences, it's cultural backgrounds. We need all the voices in the room. So I think in healthcare, that's extra important right now, because I think they're going to be experiencing an enormous amount of change, from the way they care for their patients to the types of systems that are automating aspects of healthcare to robots when they are ready to come in and start taking care of those physical aspects of healthcare.
Yeah, great answer. Lots to unpack there again. And just reminding me of, you know, the keynote I heard at HumanX where Kamala Harris was speaking. And there's one line which really stayed with me, which she said was that whenever you are having these conversations, just think about somebody who's not even in the room. So they're not even represented. So yeah, like you're saying, you know, they're not even in that chair. So you have to bring in those perspectives and really think about people who are not fortunate enough or lucky enough to be represented. And like you're saying, C-suite, the ratio is so inverted that those of us who are fortunate to be there really need to think about and bring in those perspectives.
Exactly. That's a really great reminder. And we talked about that a bit at our conference at MIT last month too. Was actually in our opening panel, there's a woman, Ezgi Kampala, and she works with the World Bank and climate change, but she's done a lot of research around diverse voices involved in technologies like AI, but also in climate change technology. And the research has uncovered that indigenous voices, interestingly, because they're the closest to the natural rhythms of the planet and are, you know, the ecological aspects of everything and the ecosystems, they're not only the most impacted, they're the first impacted by climate change, but they also have the most to offer in terms of genuine wisdom that goes back thousands of years. And so while they aren't quote unquote science backed, they very much have a lot to share there. And they've even shown from some of the research that the feedback and the data that those, you know, indigenous voices can give is actually more accurate than the data models that we're, you know, measuring these various inputs on. So it's just an interesting thing to think about. Like sometimes we get so caught in the titles and the research and the it's science and it's research backed. And it's like, yeah. And there's also like lots of other ways to think about this. And there's other voices that maybe don't have your in the box credentials, but they very much have deep wisdom to share. It just might not be in the form that you're used to flagging as like wise and credible source. So yeah, it's important to think about that.
Intuitive wisdom. So yeah, well done, Soman. Wow. So yeah, this has been a great conversation. And I think we are almost reaching the end now. And I wanted to ask you if there's been any point in your professional journey so far where you faced a lot of resistance or you felt that gender was limiting and how you overcame that. That would be really great advice for our listeners.
Yeah. I think I'll go back to kind of the moment where I was taking off and, you know, I almost died and childbirth. And there was not a lot of compassion or understanding during that time. And I've seen this with women over and over again with parental leave. I think it's so important to remember, like, at the end of the day, when we zoom out, like, humans are here to connect with one another and continue their species, which is have children. And, you know, what more important of a role is there than to bring a new life, a new soul into this world and to educate them? And part of that education starts in those early months, you know, right from the time that they come into the world through birth. And I think it's a very simple concept, but I feel like we have to keep repeating it over and over for some reason and reminding people how precious of a time those first couple years are for a human life. And I think right now we're still very much caught in a trap around putting that last on the list. And so when we think about technology companies, when we think about healthcare, when we think about these various industries that are evolving very quickly, they're not leaving a lot of room for humans to flourish. And so, and there's a lot of research around this too, which they call the science of human flourishing is kind of the latest term around this. But we need to think more holistically about human flourishing and what that means on all levels. And I think when I think about gender, one of the first things I think about is not all women are mothers, but we very often find ourselves in caregiving positions throughout our lives, whether that's being a mother, whether that's caring for an elderly person or a friend or a spouse. I mean, women tend to be much more heavily in those roles than men. It is a very gendered issue. And so I think what I'd love to see is just more attention given towards that and more integration of that role into the workplace. Because in order for those workplaces to thrive, like, it's almost very short-sighted to not put that as a central part of the workplace, because it very much is the future of innovation and the future of leadership and our capacity to be building sustainable systems is to care for the next generation. So
thank you. Thank you for that answer. So as we conclude the podcast, is there some one piece of advice that you would like to give our listeners or anything that you would like them to think about more when we talk about AI or tech or, you know, all the emerging new technologies? What is that one piece of information that they should keep in their mind while approaching these new technologies?
Slow down.
Slow down. Okay, great.
Slow down. You don't have to keep going faster. No matter what everyone is trying to brainwash you with, just don't listen. Slow down.
Yeah.
Because the way that you use it, these technologies are going so fast, you're never going to be able to be an expert. It's moving too quickly. So you're just going to be drinking from a fire hose. Slow down. Tune in to what you really need, to the areas that, you know, in your business and your work, whatever it is, that are taking from you, where you're feeling drained and burned out, and automate those areas. Use AI to automate those aspects that take away from you. We all have these brilliant areas of ourselves that are those kind of genius aspects. Usually it's only on a couple dimensions, and then we're just like, meh, okay, in some of these other areas. So, like, become self-aware, I think, is the biggest thing I could advise people. Like, become self-aware. And when you become self-aware, you can leverage these technologies to, you know, essentially just automate and offload the aspects of yourself that are holding you back. So you can become a much more human-centered and whole leader and whole human that has more to offer to the world around you. So, so partner with AI in that capacity. Because if you think of AI as kind of, I think of it as kind of an emerging species that we're kind of parenting, and it's in like its toddler stage right now. And I think if we think about it like we're parenting it, I think eventually we have to look at it, we're collaborating with it. So I think AI has its own brilliance to offer, and we have our own brilliance to offer. And so I think we have to look at our future as kind of a hybrid species that's collaborating together.
Great perspective. So thank you so much for joining us on our podcast, Dr. Newhouse, and look forward to having further conversations with you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Look forward to it. All right. Thank you.